Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Allegra Bat Rachel, Pesach Ze Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. The news media and the Democrats, the left-wing news media and the Democrats, want a Great Depression in this country. They want to bring down the economy. They want to cause the stock market to crash, and doing everything they can to crash the stock market and to create panic and crash in the bond markets. They're doing everything they can to destroy the economy of the United States. And they're doing everything they can to sow panic and despair among the American people, which is what led to the Great Depression in the 1930s. And they're doing everything they can to prolong the coronavirus crisis. In other words, they're willing to see many more people die, because if the death rates go up, it makes Donald Trump look bad and it increases the chances that they'll defeat him for re-election. That's how much they want to defeat Trump for re-election. So they're willing to see many more Americans die and many more people around the world die. And they're willing to see a situation where many more people will be sick and will have these terrible problems with their lungs and kidneys and other problems that some of the people who become sick and survive, they still go on to have problems later on and have damage to their bodies. And they're willing to, they want this. They want more and more people to be sick and more people to die, because the worse the numbers look, the worse it looks for Trump. And that literally is what they want. That is literally true. They are rooting for this crisis to continue. They're rooting against a cure. They're working against a cure. And again, they're doing everything they can to create the type of panic and despair and desperation that could lead to a Great Depression, to bring down the stock market, to cause a crash in the bond markets, to cause a crash in every aspect of the American economy. They're doing everything they can to do that. You watch their news broadcasts on television, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, PBS, all of them. You go to their news sites online, Washington Post, New York Times, all of their news sites, and you will see nothing but an attempt to create despair, 100% attempt to create despair, to leave no hope. There's no hope in any of their reports. There's almost never any hope. Once in a while, they'll put in a tiny little story in order to pretend that there's a slight amount of balance, in order to make it look a little good. But usually, they don't even bother with that. Usually, if they have a half-hour news broadcast, let's say, in the network news programs at night, the whole half hour is pure panic and pure despair, and everything is terrible, and everything's is getting worse, and there's no hope. And they have problems, because lately there are hopeful signs that there can be an end to this crisis. Let me give you an example. This past week, a drug that was used to fight the Ebola, to fight the spread of Ebola. You remember Ebola? That disease that was coming from Africa? A drug that was used then, unsuccessfully against Ebola, seems to be working when it comes to the coronavirus. The drug is called, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, Remdesivir. Remdesivir, something like that. Remdesivir. I don't know how to pronounce that. Remdesivir. And it's put out by Gilead, which is a company that specializes in antiviral research and antiviral drugs. And this week we found out that in their clinical trials, the type of clinical trials that the media has been telling us, without clinical trials, everything's unproven. There's no hope. You've got to have long clinical trials, and it takes years of research. This is what they keep telling us. Well, they're doing the clinical trials for a drug that has been around for years. It's true the drug was not successful the way it was hoped it would be in the fight against Ebola. But in the fight against the coronavirus, it seems to be working. Because we learned this week that in the initial clinical trials, the phase one of their clinical trials, and again, these are the type of clinical trials that are approved by the scientific community and the experts. Scientific community and the experts approve them. They're with random people in the trials, which is what you're supposed to have. They're with severely sick people, again, randomly chosen, severely sick people who are either given a placebo or are given the drug that's being tested. So in other words, it's done exactly the way the scientific community says you're supposed to be doing it. And in these tests of, I think, 140 people, two of them passed away, but the vast majority who were severely ill, the vast majority, in less than a week, had no symptoms anymore, were cured. I mean, if these results continue, they want to do a bigger test and bigger clinical studies, but if this continues like this, that would be a tremendous breakthrough. That would be the type of answer that would solve this problem. Because if you could create a situation where even people who become ill, because people become severely ill, that's already a small minority of the total picture. The vast majority of people that get this illness are either asymptomatic, in other words, they have no symptoms, or they have mild symptoms, or mild or moderate symptoms, and they don't even require hospitalization. But that group of people that do require hospitalization, that have more serious symptoms, in that category, which is, again, a minority, 5 to 10%, let's say, of the people that contract coronavirus. Let's say 5 to 10%. Depends which country you're talking about. Depends what age category and so on. But let's say it's 5 to 10% become seriously ill and require some form of hospitalization. Not necessarily respirators, but some form of hospitalization. Let's say it's 5 to 10%. May even be less. I don't know the exact statistics. It may even be less. But out of that group, let's say it's 10%, which would be a high figure. That would really be a high figure. I don't think it is. But let's say 10% require hospitalization. If it's 10% and 2 out of 140 pass away, and the vast majority, 118 or 120 of them, walk away healthy in less than a week after having been severely ill and had to go to the hospital, those are the type of statistics that you would get from the flu or from other illnesses. This would no longer be this massive, monstrous threat hanging over us. This would be something like the flu. And so, if these statistics continue like this, and again, I don't know if they will. I don't know what's going to be. I don't know what's going to happen in the larger clinical trials, because they're doing larger trials. But if this continues, this means that we could be headed for a solution pretty quickly in the next, I don't know if in the next few weeks, but certainly we could be headed for a solution where we will have a drug that will kill this illness and we will no longer have this tremendous threat of thousands of people dying. We won't have thousands of people dying every day around the world. You would think that this would be the number one story, because this gives hope to people and this would encourage other scientists and other researchers, and this would be the type of thing you'd want to trumpet all over the news. This would be the number one story. When you have something encouraging like this, you want to publicize it. You want the public to know about it. You want the scientific community to know about it, because this can encourage others to do things that could also bring solutions. You always want to encourage that. That's the type of news you want to promote if you're interested in solving the problem. They buried the story. Most of the media outlets that I saw didn't even cover the story. Didn't even give it 1 second of coverage. Most of the media outlets did not bother to cover it. The same media outlets that are telling us nothing works. Nothing works. What Donald Trump promotes is unproven, all unproven drugs. And nothing works. The same media that are giving us this nonstop despair, that are telling us there's no way, it takes years, but the soonest will be a year to 18 months for a vaccine, and even that's optimistic, no real hope. The same media that's been beating this drum of desperation and of hopelessness, when they had an example where we have something where we could really pin our hopes on. And let me tell you something. If you show scientists and researchers and doctors that they're going to get tremendous credit and tremendous fame if they produce a cure for this, if you give them massive coverage when there is a breakthrough, that's going to make them they're going to be more determined to have a breakthrough. Companies and doctors and researchers will work even harder to produce a breakthrough if you do that. You want to encourage this. You want to push this and encourage this. Instead, they did, again, everything they could to bury the story. Many of you probably didn't even hear about it. It was just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. If Barack Hussein Obama was president, you think they'd be covering the story this way? Are you kidding me? If Barack Hussein Obama was president, or if one of their favorite left-wing Democrats was president, I mean, come on. They don't want this to be solved. They're doing everything they can to discourage people from solving this problem. People, for instance, who are researching the drug that Donald Trump has been promoting. People who have been promoting that, people who have been researching that drug are now discouraged by the media, because the media is ridiculing and mocking people who are involved in research for that drug. The media ridicules and mocks people who are doing things that could potentially solve this problem. And by the way, the drug that Donald Trump is promoting, which is a drug that was used against malaria successfully, by the way, that was used successfully against malaria. That drug has also shown promising results in some studies. Now, there are others who say that there are problems with the drug, there are side effects. First of all, every drug has side effects. Every drug. This is a tremendous crisis. We have to work with drugs. We have to try to see if there are side effects. We have to try to see, can we alleviate the side effects? Can we mitigate the side effects? Can we produce a drug that will cure 99%+ of everybody who's sick and at the same time minimize the side effects? Can we do that? That's what you do with drugs that have side effects but that are working for the vast majority of people. And the drug that Trump has been promoting seems to work for the vast majority of people, but occasionally there are side effects. But the media has gone on what Attorney General Barr correctly referred to as a jihad against this drug because Trump promoted it. They want it to fail because Trump promoted it. A drug that could possibly save the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, who knows how many people, that could prevent a Great Depression in the United States. You know what a tragedy would be if the United States went through a Great Depression? If the entire economy crashed like it did in the 1930s and there was a Great Depression? The media wants a Great Depression. It is so obvious from their reporting, and you have to be blind not to see it. They do everything they can to create despair. Everything they can. If there's despair, if there's panic, that brings about depression. That hurts the economy. And in a situation like this, you want to create panic? They know that's not helping. They know that's only going to hurt if you create panic. And by the way, it's not just the left. It's even the phony right. You even have the Drudge Report. If you read the Drudge Report, it's pure panic. He actually does stories saying maybe there'll never be a virus. There's a good chance there'll never be a vaccine for the... No, maybe there'll never be a vaccine, excuse me. Maybe there'll never be a vaccine for the virus. There's a chance they'll never have a cure. They'll never have anything. We're going to go on like this forever. Everything is falling apart. There's no hope. I mean, the despair that Drudge promotes, it's unbelievable. Because for some reason, Drudge, I don't know why, Drudge turned against Trump because of this stupid impeachment, the impeachment insanity that the Democrats started. And Drudge wanted him impeached and wanted him removed from office because of this nonsense. Matt Drudge, by the way, another self-hating Jew. Supposed to be the big leading conservative, the big right winger, another self-hating Jew. You think he cares that it would hurt Israel, that it hurts Israel and the Jewish people if an anti-Semite like Joe Biden, God forbid, becomes president? Do you think Matt Drudge cares about that? That Joe Biden is committed to forcing Israel to commit national suicide? That Joe Biden was part of the Obama administration that spent 8 years obsessively pressuring Israel to commit suicide? That Joe Biden was one of the architects of the Iran deal that was giving Iran hundreds of billions of dollars and rewarding them to enable them to build nuclear bombs, a nuclear bomb factory? I mean, they would be producing stockpiles of nuclear bombs eventually under the Obama agreement. And Biden was one of the architects of this horrific agreement. Do you think Matt Drudge cares about that? That bothers Matt Drudge? I don't know why he has a bug up his tuchus about Trump all of a sudden. And I don't like Donald Trump. As you know, I don't like Donald Trump. I've been critical of him. I don't like him for many reasons. I don't want to go into it now because of time. But you know that I supported Ted Cruz, and I was a longtime critic of Donald Trump, and I still say Ted Cruz would have been a much better president. I don't think Donald Trump has been a good president. But we have to support him for re-election because the Democrats are much worse. For Israel and for the Jewish people, the Democrats are much worse. And any Jew who supports the anti-Semitic Democrat Party is a self-hating Jewish traitor. And you know, the media is constantly ignoring and covering up what the Democrats said about this. They keep saying, Donald Trump was slow to respond to this crisis. Oh, really? After Donald Trump imposed a ban on travel from China on January 31st, which the Democrats attacked him for, by the way, and after he took various other steps, you had Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York that that the media worships now. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, saying that this was not going to be a serious problem. Bill de Blasio, the mayor, the Democrat, left-wing, communist, Democrat mayor of New York City, compared it to the flu. Nancy Pelosi went to Chinatown in San Francisco, saying we can celebrate in Chinatown. This is nothing. Don't worry about this. Don't listen to this. This is nothing. We can go to Chinatown and celebrate in Chinatown. And we should go. De Blasio, Cuomo, Pelosi all said we should go about our regular lives. Nonsense. Nah, what are you listening to? Nah, what are you worried about? This was after Trump was already starting to take action. The Democrats were still saying that this was not a serious problem. And when the problem, the Democrats claimed Trump should have taken action in December and January. What were the Democrats doing at that time? They were doing the impeachment nonsense. Something which they knew had zero chance of succeeding. They knew there was no chance of removing Trump from office. They knew the Republican Senate was going to keep Trump in office. The whole thing was just a public relations exercise, a complete waste of time and money. And if instead of that they had focused a little attention on this, we might have had better results now. But the media doesn't tell you that. The media, you never see that. You never see the statements from the Democrats minimizing and downplaying the coronavirus. All the Democrats were downplaying the coronavirus. All of them were downplaying it. And the most important thing that Trump did in the beginning, which was on January 31st when he stopped travel to and from China, that was the most important thing he did. Remember when you had that huge outbreak in China, and that was what was really spreading it all over the world. And Trump, on January 31st, ordered an end to that travel to and from China. Joe Biden, who apparently will be the Democrat nominee, the senile Joe Biden, said that Donald Trump was xenophobic and a racist for imposing the travel ban on China. In other words, Biden, Cuomo, de Blasio, Pelosi, Schmuck Schumer, all these serpents in the Democrat Party, if it had been up to them, there wouldn't have been a travel ban on China. On China, at the peak of the crisis, at the peak of their infection, when they were spreading the infection all over the world. The Democrats were against the ban on travel to and from China. They attacked Trump and called him xenophobic and racist for that. Do you know what would have happened if that travel ban hadn't been put in place? If instead the travel there continued to be free travel to and from China, you would have had far more deaths, far more infections, far more illnesses. You might have had overwhelmed the hospital system and the healthcare system by now. You would have had a far greater crisis. That's what you would have had if there was a Democrat in the White House, or if we'd listened to Democrats in the news media. Trump ignored them. Trump felt that he has to impose this travel ban. He felt something's bad is going on over here, and he decided to do it. And some of his advisors were against it, but he instinctively decided to go with this. And that was a move that saved a lot of lives. And again, Joe Biden said that he was xenophobic and racist. If Joe Biden had been president, far more Americans would have died. Far more Americans would have been infected. The crisis would have been far worse than it is now. And the economic effects of the crisis, because of that, would have been far worse. And the effects on the healthcare system would have been far worse. And there would have been hospitals that would have been overwhelmed and would not have been able to handle the crisis. If Joe Biden had been president, or if Andrew Cuomo had been president. But that the media never tells you. They never show you the statements. They never show you the statements from Democrats minimizing and downplaying the coronavirus and saying that it's nothing. Go about your business. There's nothing to be worried about. You should just go about your regular business. Enjoy, go out and have fun and enjoy yourself. That's what all the Democrats were saying. And those statements are ignored by the media. It's true that Trump also said things that downplayed the crisis at the time, because that was what we were being told at the time. Because China lied. Because China was telling us there wasn't even human-to-human transmission over here. That you can't get infected. Human beings can't infect other human beings. This is what the Chinese were saying. And stupidly, people were believing them. But unfortunately, the experts and everybody, this is what they were telling Donald Trump. So he also, he made some statements that downplayed it. That's true. There were times he made statements downplayed it. But nothing compared to what the left-wing Democrats were saying. The left-wing Democrats downplayed it far more. And the media only selectively quotes what Donald Trump said when the experts were telling him this. But ignores the fact that all the left-wing Democrats that the media worships were telling us, we're downplaying it far more than Trump. That is completely ignored by the media. The hypocrisy, the double standard, the deliberate left-wing propaganda that we're getting from this media proves that their sole interest is to defeat Donald Trump. They are not interested in the health and well-being of people that are dying from this, infected from this, being sick, that their lungs are being damaged, and their kidneys, and all types of functions in their body that are essential to their survival are being damaged long term, even if they survive. The media doesn't give a damn about any of that. And the media loves the high ratings. They love it. Because their ratings finally their ratings have gone up for the first time in decades. You know, the media ratings have been going down and down and down. Nobody watches them anymore. Nobody on television, nobody watches them anymore. Everybody's going on the internet. there was a time when the three network news programs from NBC, CBS, and ABC, I remember when I was a kid, they were on at 7 p.m. every night, 7 p.m. Eastern, and of course, 7 p.m. across the country, 7 p.m. Eastern, and then it would be 7 p.m. Mountain Time and Central, and Central Mountain Time and on the West Coast. Do you know that they would have audiences of 80 or 90 million viewers? Between the three of them, they'd have audiences of 80, 90 million Americans would watch them every night. They had a huge audience once upon a time. Now, Each one of them is lucky to get 10 million viewers for a total of maybe 30 million between the three of them. And that's if it's a very good night for them. That would be if it's a very good hot night for them. So they're desperate. And here they have this surge in people viewing their programs now. So, you know, they're thrilled with what's going on here. Just like they love. I hate ABC, by the way. You know, Trump always attacks NBC, and he's right. NBC is an evil, very evil network. But ABC, I hate ABC. Oh, I hate ABC. They're such a disgusting network. You know, they love when there's if there's a little rainstorm somewhere, a tremendous storm attacking a part of the country, and they won't even tell you what part of the country, what state. They tease you every story they do. They tease you and don't even tell you what they're gonna say when they give you when they start off the show and give you the headlines that are coming. They so insult their viewers and are such frauds and such evil, lying scum. Scum! Yimach shmam v'zichram shem reshaim birkav. May their names and memories be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot, which is the worst curse the worst Jewish curse you can put on somebody. And now, when they do these shows on the coronavirus crisis, night after night, the hysteria, the panic that they're creating. And again, it's a very serious problem. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not a serious problem. It is a very serious problem, and people should be very careful. We should be careful, and we should be concerned, and we should take precautions. And I never leave my home without a mask and without gloves, without surgical gloves and a mask. You should wear a mask. You should wear surgical gloves. You should keep your distance. You should be very careful. You should be very careful. This is not a joke. But having said that, if you look at the statistics, they're making it sound like the whole world has come to an end. This is the end of the world. And, you know, if we do what they say we should do, it's going to come to an end. You had one of the Joe Biden advisors saying that we have to keep the country closed at least for another year, a year and a half. The whole country locked down another year, year and a half. You know what happened to the economy if the country was locked down for another year, year and a half? The 1930s depression would be nothing compared to what we would face. You would have small businesses, the vast majority of small businesses would go under, would go bankrupt. And even large companies would go under, and the banking system would face collapse. The banking system, your money wouldn't be safe in the banks anymore. If you own bonds, if you own stocks, you would lose them. And your money in the banks, forget about it. And if you own real estate, the value of your real estate would go all the way down. And the United States government, which already now, this year, it looks like they're going to have a $4 or $5 trillion debt. The highest yearly deficit, budget deficit. The highest annual budget deficit the United States ever had was somewhat over $1 trillion. That was our highest. Now we're looking at $4 or $5 trillion as the new budget deficit. I mean, we're gonna have budget deficits that are much bigger than the whole budget. And can you imagine what would happen if we were locked down for another year? The United States would face bankruptcy. Then you would have the complete chaos and despair and desperation that ABC and CBS and NBC and Drudge and all of these other beasts, and Michael Savage, that other animal, that other self-hating Jew, Michael Savage, all of them are rooting for that. You would have that type of situation. And at least they would get their ratings temporarily, because even their companies eventually would go out of business. They're promoting Andrew Cuomo all the time. This shows you how unreliable they are. Just another example. It's just one of another million examples. They made Andrew Cuomo into he's the mighty king now of the media. He's supposed to be an example of true leadership, of a real strong leader, Andrew Cuomo, who has destroyed New York State. New York State was in terrible shape. First of all, his father, Mario Cuomo, another animal, another anti-Semitic left-wing animal, was governor for 12 years and wrecked the state, devastated the state. He created, even in times of prosperity, upstate New York is desolate now. It's like a depression area. I'll give you an example of what the Cuomos have done. Andrew Cuomo has been governor for 10 years. His father was governor for 12 years. When I was a teenager, or even when I was in my 20s, in the 1980s, when I was running the JDL, when I was running the Jewish Defense League JDL in the 80s, and I was in my 20s, the city of Buffalo, the second biggest city in the state of New York, the city of Buffalo had 550,000 residents. 550,000 people lived in the city of Buffalo. You know there are less than 250,000 now? More than half of the city has run away, has fled. And that's true all over. Devastation, all upstate New York, devastation because of the high taxes and regulations and massive spending, brutal massive spending of the Cuomos. What they did to New York, they handed the whole state over to these communist, corrupt, organized crime-infested labor unions, giving giant pensions to union workers, lazy union workers that did nothing, that never did anything when they were on the job, were basically bureaucrats who also destroyed the state. And the massive spending, you know that New York, even left-wing California, New York outspends California spends per capita. In other words, New York has less than half the population of California. California has 40 million people. New York, I think, has about 18 million people. So California is more than double the size of New York. But on a per capita basis, in other words, per person, New York, for instance, in the education system, spends two or three times as much as California. Why would New York spend so much on education? Because they have these giant pensions and give huge salaries to these communist teachers. Most of the teachers in New York are communists, are scum and communists, and teach nothing but crap to the children in New York. I'm talking about the public schools. And they get these gigantic salaries. I mean, there are teachers that are earning $150,000, $200,000 a year. Then they get these giant pensions for the rest of their lives. They retire after 20 years, get these giant pensions. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. So the state has massive debt. And huge, a gigantic budget. You know, the state has a $90 billion budget, just one state with a $90 billion budget. It's insane. That's Andrew Cuomo. And his father did the same thing. His father was another Jew-hating animal who was the governor of New York. Cuomo's are Jew haters, always have been Jew haters. His father threatened the Jews in New York, said that if you elect a Jewish mayor, everybody's going to blame you, the Jews, if anything goes wrong, so you better not vote for a Jewish mayor. I mean, you know, I happen to agree that you shouldn't vote for a Jew. You shouldn't vote for Jewish politicians because they always betray the Jewish people, but that's a different story. But he did it in an anti-Semitic way. He made an anti-Semitic threat against the Jews. That was his father, Mario Cuomo. And then as soon as he left the governor's office, as soon as he no longer had to face the voters, he started condemning Israel. He started making statements blasting and condemning Israel. That Jew-hating scum. Yimach shmo v'zichro. Thankfully, he's burning in hell now. And his two sons, Andrew and the one on CNN, that Chris Cuomo, that other animal, those two frauds, those two evil Jew-hating frauds, hate Israel, hate the Jews. Anyway, the media has turned Andrew into the big hero now. He's the big hero. People who have destroyed everything they've touched. It's important that we understand this because it's important we understand how much evil there is in the world, how many evil forces there are in the world that are working to make things bad. And the self-hating Jewish leaders, like Schmuck Schumer, these self-hating Jews who hate their own people and would, or Schumer, I don't think Schmuck Schumer cares one way or the other if Israel lives or dies, as long as Schmuck Schumer is elevated, and as long as Schmuck Schumer remains a powerful figure, that's all he cares about. A complete whore. An evil, cowardly, filthy, stinking whore. Yimach shmo v'zichro, shem reshaim yirkav. We have to understand the evil people we're dealing with. We have to understand that. And the establishment that runs both political parties, the establishment is evil. The establishment that runs things in this country is evil. And yes, they want Donald Trump out. I don't know. I mean, I think that Trump does a lot of things that are bad and that are actually that the establishment would actually agree with, but for some reason they don't like him and they want him out. And so the media and the Democrats are obsessively trying to get him out at all costs, and they're willing to see many, many people die. They're willing to kill people, huge numbers of people. Actually, they're actually killing people with what they're doing. They're actually killing people because they're discouraging the scientific community and putting obstacles in the way of the scientific community coming up with cures. They bury it when someone does achieve something, which discourages people from working and slaving feverishly to create a cure. They discourage things instead of creating a situation where everybody wants to do everything they can to solve the problem and to cure the problem. Instead of creating that situation, they do the opposite. And they create despair and hopelessness, and there's no hope, and we're finished, and we're doomed. Evil, evil people. Everything they want to do to the good people should happen to them. It should all be on their heads. Yimach Shemam v'zechram. Seven times over, it should be on their heads. Amen. And so, we're going to have a task ahead of us. We've got to expose the truth. In JTF, as you know, what are we doing? We're reaching tens of thousands of Israeli Jews with our message. We have with our Hebrew videos, we have an advertising campaign. Tens of thousands are being reached every single month. And we're bringing a message of truth to the Jews of Israel. That's what we're doing. That's what we're devoted to. Plus, we do this program every week. I had to devote a program to this because it's such an outrage what's going on. I had to discuss the outrageous, atrocious, amoral willingness to murder huge numbers of people just for a political objective. I had to discuss that because just as they will see huge numbers of people killed, they will literally kill people just to get Trump out of office or to have higher ratings or to achieve power. Just as they're willing to do that, they're also willing to destroy Israel. Remember that. Make no mistake about that. They're willing to destroy Israel. In fact, they hate Israel and would love to see Israel destroyed. They hate Israel and they hate the Jews, and that includes the self-hating Jewish anti-Semites. That's who we're up against. And so we're going to work together. We're going to expose it, and I hope we'll be able to overcome this, God willing. I hope we'll be able to overcome this, and I hope we'll be able to avoid tremendous suffering and pain and tremendous difficulty in the future. We'll see what happens. But the good guys are going to win in the end, because that's what God promises us in the Bible. In the end, the good guys are going to win. Maybe not in the short term. I don't know what's going to happen in the November election. I don't know what's going to happen next year. I don't know who's going to be president next year. I have no idea. And evil people can have short-term success. But I'm talking about in the very end. In the very end, when the final redemption comes, when the final day of judgment and redemption comes, and it is coming, it is going to come eventually. I may not live to see it. None of us will live to see it. It may be 100 years from now. I don't know when, but it's coming. And when it comes, there will be justice, there will be truth, there will be righteousness, and the good guys will win, and the evil people will finally be exposed and finally pay the ultimate price. It's a truth that we have to expose. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. We can overcome any problem and make this a better world if we do what Hashem, what God commands us to do, and if we work together to solve the problem. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.